This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على شرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, the topic of my khutbah this week is the way forward. I have a principle in life. I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. And that is based on the reality that when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, we will not be asked what happened. We will be asked, what did you do? That means accepting that the only one in my control is myself, nobody else. And so that is who I must focus on. Do what is in my control, and not allow circumstances, media, people, or even my own feelings to distract or discourage me from doing whatever I can to make a positive impact in the world that I live in. Some of the most common doubts and thoughts that interfere with action are based around the question, what difference can I as an individual make? I am after all one person, what difference can I make? Remember and remind others that all great change, all revolutions, all rewriting of history begins and began with one individual. Whoever that individual was, it began and still begins with one individual. So let us be that individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent one Nabi, one Rasul, except in exceptional cases, not a committee or a team, to create change in an entire nation. So my first message today to myself and you is to focus on ourselves. Do what you must do, I do what I must do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, will create the effect. Today, as we look at what is happening to Muslims worldwide, we seem to be without solutions. I'm not restricting myself to Gaza, because we have the Rohingyas, we have the Uyghurs, we have the ongoing conflicts which involve Muslims in so many parts of the world. And we seem to be helpless and without solutions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the solution to our problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw unsa وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whoever does good, whether male or female, and is a believer, we will surely bless them with a beautiful life, حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, with a good life. And we will certainly reward them according to the best of their deeds. All their deeds, inshallah, will be rewarded according to whatever was the best of them, which Allah accepted. The reward of that level will be given for all the deeds, all the good deeds, inshallah. We ask Allah to make us among them, inshallah. The formula is very simple and straightforward. It is literally only two things, faith and righteous deeds. Iman wa amilu salih, amalu salih. If I as an individual return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then my dua can change my life, my circumstances, and with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my world. I always remind myself of that famous author, Lauren Isley, of what he wrote about his learning, about the power of one person to make an impact. I'm paraphrasing that story as I see it happening in my mind. Isley was walking on the beach early one morning. The previous night there had been a huge storm and the beach was littered with debris. In that debris were hundreds of starfish thrown up from the ocean in the storm. As he walked, Isley saw someone in the distance picking up something from the beach and throwing it into the waves. When he was close to the person, he saw that it was a boy throwing starfish into the sea. Isley asked the boy, what was he doing? He asked him, what are you doing? The boy replied, throwing stars into the sea so that they don't die. If they remain on the sand, they will dry. They will dry in the sun and die. Isley swept his open palm at the uncountable starfish on the beach and he asked the boy, do you have any idea how many starfish are on this beach alone, this one beach alone? Then think of the number of starfish that get thrown up on all the beaches in the world. You are one kid on this one beach. What difference can you make? The boy looked at Isley and then he looked at the starfish that he was holding and he threw it far into the waves and he said it made a difference to that one. This is a very common cop-out that we do where we globalize a problem which makes us feel helpless and we feel then justified in doing nothing by saying, this is such a huge problem, what can I as one person, what can I do about this? I always quote Mother Teresa's very beautiful, very simple, very powerful statement. She said, if you cannot feed 100 people, feed one. And that is the secret of success. Localize the problem and ask yourself, what can I do? Don't say, what can we do? There's no we, I. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask a general question. He will ask you, what did you do? He will ask me, what did I do? He won't ask me about you, he won't ask you about me. What did I do? So ask yourself, what can I do in this situation? Don't say the problem of America is homelessness. No, it is my problem. How can we give homes to the people who are homeless? No, how can I help one homeless person get a home? How can I feed one person? How can I educate one child? The boy threw the starfish and he said it made a difference to that one. So today when you go to a protest or a sit-in or whatever, never forget that you are making a difference. You are not allowing what is not in your power, which is to change the situation on the ground, to prevent you from doing what is in your power, which is to raise your voice against it. That is the game changer in life. Just do it. In these times when there is so much grief and depression and fear and despair even, it is good to let our brothers and sisters in Palestine know that they are not alone. That not only we, but millions of Muslims all over the world stand with them. Standing with us also are those who are not Muslim, but who share our respect for the sanctity of human life, all human life, who have not sold their conscience for a pittance and whose tongues are not sealed against the truth. We have reached such a state of moral collapse that even the gathering of millions of people all over the world is not enough to convince our leaders that killing children is a crime. Remember that there was a time when slavery was legal and helping a slave to free himself or herself was illegal. Remember that those who implemented the Holocaust in Germany in the 1930s were obeying the law, and those who tried to help the victims escape were called lawbreakers. All those and many more acts of oppression owe their demise to one simple truth, that somewhere someone stood up and said, "Not in my name. I will not allow you to commit crimes against humanity and God in my name." We have today smashed our moral compass and totally lost the plot. At this time, it is hugely invigorating and encouraging and incredibly important to stand together with other right-thinking people whose hearts have not become harder than stone. We don't have the power to stop what is happening, but we have the power to speak out against it. Give a voice to those who need it the most. We have the best guidance of Rasulullah, who told us to stop evil with our hands and to raise our voices against it and to hate it in our hearts. So let our voices be heard in every forum, everywhere. And Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه وإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان. أبو سيد الخدري رضي الله عنه reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever among you sees evil, let him change it with his hand. If he cannot do so, then with his tongue," meaning speak out against it, "and if he cannot do that, do even that, then with his heart," meaning hate it in your heart, and that is the weakest level of faith. And this is a Sahih Hadith in Muslim. The second thought that plagues us is, we did so much but nothing happened, so what is the use of it? And we stop. To counter this, I remind myself of the weighing scale. Many years ago in my childhood, I watched a salesman measuring out grain in a store in India. When this thought occurred to me, have you ever seen a traditional weighing scale in a shop selling food grains? It's called a balance. And it has two pans on either side of a pivot hanging from a horizontal beam at the top. The weight measure is put in one pan and the material being weighed is put in the other pan. There is an extremely important life lesson to be learnt from this. Please notice what the seller does. First, he puts the weight measure in one pan, say 20 kilos. This pan then goes to the bottom and it is sitting on the countertop and the other pan is high up in the air. Then the salesman uses a scoop and starts to put the grain, say rice or whatever, into the pan on top. As the pan fills, even when he has put 15 kilos, 16 kilos, 17 kilos, 19 kilos, do you see anything happening to the pans? Nothing. They are still in this way. There is no change in the situation. The pan with the weight remains firmly on the countertop, and the pan with the grain with the rice or whatever remains in the air. But have you ever seen a situation where the man turns around and tells you, "You know what? I failed. This is not working. So go to some other shop." He doesn't do that. He doesn't even talk to you. He continues to pour or put the grain into the pan, even though his effort until now seems to have been wasted. He does that because he knows the truth. And the truth is that the result will come. And as he puts the grain into the pan, he sees a small movement in the pans. And the pan with the rice starts to descend. Once that happens and the pans are almost level, the man changes his method of putting in the grain Now instead of the scoop, he uses his hand and he takes a handful of rice, a grain, and he gently drops a few grains at a time into the pan. And then lo and behold, the pan with the rice descends and the pan with the weight rises up in the air, and he takes the rice grain out and he gives it to you. Now when I saw this, I learned two essential lessons in life. Both are equally true. The first lesson I learned was, until 19 kilos, nothing will happen. But at 20, the pan, the balance will tip. Until 19 kilos, nothing will happen. But at 20, the balance will tip. Lesson number two, the last few grains always make the difference. Both lessons are equally true. Until 19, nothing will happen. And at 20, the pan will tip and the last few grains make the difference. So also in life. When 19 kilos of effort have gone into the problem you are trying to solve or the dream you are trying to achieve, and you start losing hope because you see that nothing is happening, it is good to remember and remind yourself that nothing is supposed to happen. And that at 20, the pan will tip. Your dream will come true. Your problem will be solved. The one who understands this does not lose hope or energy, but smiles in anticipation of reaching that last stage when he knows that the pan will start to descend to the countertop. If you are building the most magnificent masjid or any building, my final point for this khutbah, point number three. If you are building the most magnificent masjid or any building, what do you need first? You need a solid foundation, a foundation that is big and deep enough to support the superstructure that is going to come on top. Imagine that we are rocks, all of us are rocks, and we want to be a part of this building. But we say to ourselves, I want to be on the facing of the building, polished and shining before the world. The world must see me, they must know me. And believe me, that building will never stand. For any building to take shape, first, you need rocks who are willing to go into the foundation and be buried, never to be seen again. Known only to the builder but nobody else. Without those rocks, the building can never stand. But those rocks are satisfied knowing that the building stands on their shoulders. Think of all the Sahaba who died before Fath Makkah and before the Futuhat of the Khilafa Rashida. Sumayya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha and Yasir bin Amir radiallahu anhu, the parents of Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, Musa ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu, Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad radiallahu anhu, and others. They didn't see the spread of Islam or the success of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They suffered deprivation, but they stood firm and didn't waver, and then they were killed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted them as shuhada. Yet, not one of them gave up or stopped making the effort. And in the end, when victory came as it was destined to come, they were its beneficiaries, because that success rode on their shoulders. That is their sadaqah jariyah until the last day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their witness, and he declared وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَحَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, when the believers saw the enemy alliance, when the Ahzab, in the battle of Khandaq, they said, this is what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised us. The promise of Allah and His Messenger has come true. Alhamdulillah. And this only increased them in faith and submission. Among the believers are men who have proven true to what they pledged. They have proven true to what they pledged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them have fulfilled their pledge with their lives. Others are waiting. They are waiting their turn. They have never changed their commitment in the least. And who is saying that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows the commitment in their hearts. Let us remember that victory and defeat is only decided at the end of the race. It is not decided by who is left standing, but by which side you stood on. Honor is in what you live and die for, not in how much money you make or how much land you conquer and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide who won and who lost when we meet Him. Our brothers and sisters in Gaza are a living example for the world of what it means to live and die with honor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them and protect them from all harm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the courage to speak the truth, stand for the truth, and to work to make the truth prevail in our lives and in the world. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.